WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writer's Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The list of movies and TV shows adapted from video games is really long, and it's kind of checkered. For every Tomb Raider, we have dozens of forgettable shows and would-be blockbusters that just weren't. But now there's The Last of Us, the HBO show based on a series of games set in a post-apocalyptic world. The Last of Us has been years in the making, and it's turned out to be a huge success, both critically and commercially.
I know what's out there. We were going with an entire squadron for that very reason. But now I don't have a truck, I don't have a squadron, Fedra's 5 minutes away. What I do have is you. And I know what you're both capable of, for better or worse.
I talked to Alex Barish, who's an editor at The New Yorker, to understand why adapting video games has been so difficult over the years, and what makes it work when it does work. Alex wrote about The Last of Us in December. Alex, I think you know me well enough to know, after all this time spent working together, that what I know about video games, you could fit in a thimble. My kids will never forgive me. They're grown now, but I outlawed them at home. They remind me of this all the time, and maybe I made a mistake. But you love them, and more to the point, you're telling us that video games are now kind of, it's a long process, but have been influencing all other kinds of arts, particularly, obviously, television and movies. So what I'd love for you to do for us today is give us three instances where video games have been adapted to great effect and real effect on popular culture. So let's go to it.
I think we do have to begin with Super Mario Brothers, which I would not call a great adaptation, but it is an instructive one in its impact and its reception. Nobody in Hollywood had tried the live-action feature-length, you know, video game adaptation as a form. And frankly, the game did not give them a lot to work with in the way of plot.
They're brothers. They're plumbers. They're on the trail of a kidnapped princess and a mystical meteorite.
It's incredible!
That gives anyone who possesses it the power to rule the universe.
So when they came to adapt it, there was a degree of self-consciousness, a kind of desire to say, this is something more than the game. The tagline, in fact, was, this ain't no game. And they were aiming for a kind of Ghostbusters-y, subversive comedy mode, slightly darker, slightly zanier, and they missed.
But unless I'm wrong, Super Mario Brothers was a console game. It comes out in 1993 as a film, and lo and behold, in 2023... somebody's taking another crack at it.
Oh, yes. We are trying again with Chris Pratt in the title role.
It's me, Mario.
And I think this speaks to Hollywood's quest. You know, they've not given up. It was a box office bomb at the time, but nobody has given up on cracking this formula.
Now, we come next to something that dominated my household when my kids were really young. Pokemon.
This is the one that is nearest and dearest to my heart, I will say, in terms of the adaptations past. And it had this really interesting, sort of unusual mutualistic relationship between the games and the series. The series, I should say, had 1,200 episodes, 25 seasons. It's still going strong. And every time a new game came out, they would take the protagonist of the show, who is this sort of perennial 10-year-old called Ash Ketchum, and plop him into the new region. So he meets all the same monsters as you meet in the game. He's meeting the same characters. He's fighting the fights that you as a player would undertake. And that sort of feedback loop has continued for decades now. It was actually recently announced that Ash would be stepping down as the protagonist after some 25 years. So there was a real outpouring of nostalgia and excitement about that. And
is Ash retiring to Boca Raton?
We can only hope after the service that he's put in.
You did it, buddy!
Now, not long ago, you came into an editorial meeting, I don't know, a few months ago, and said that HBO is going to make a huge hit show out of a game called The Last of Us. Am I right?
Yes.
And I greeted this idea with a raised eyebrow, but said, Alex, you go ahead and do it.
The video game turned small screen sensation had HBO's second biggest debut of the last 13 years behind only House of the Dragon.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The premise of the show and of the game is quite simple. A fungus-based pandemic has decimated society, and there's a smuggler called Joel, who is played in the show by Pedro Pascal, who lost his daughter at the beginning of the outbreak some 20 years prior. And he is thrown together with this young girl called Ellie, who, it's understood, may be immune to the pathogen and thus could sort of save what remains of society. So they have this kind of road trip across America. He is taking her to a lab where they hope that they will be able to engineer a cure.
Joel, I can handle myself.
It's called luck, and it is gonna run out.
You hear that? Run! There's too many of them!
That sounds like every post-apocalyptic story under the sun, but it's really about sort of the ways of living that people have carved out for themselves in this landscape. You know, there are some people who are building these kind of idealistic socialist communes. There are people who've barricaded themselves into their own towns and won't let anyone else in. There are people who've turned to incredible violence. There are, you know, all of these different modes of existence. And you're sort of seeing all of this unfold through the deepening relationship, this kind of father-daughter dynamic between the two of them.
So Alex, Super Mario Brothers, Pokemon, and The Last of Us, is this all about Hollywood's search for intellectual property that will become the next Marvel or something like it, a franchise that will just float the boat financially?
I mean, I think that's certainly a factor. You know, Amazon, Paramount, Netflix, basically every studio and streamer under the sun is trying to do some version of this. And there've been a lot of false starts. You know, Assassin's Creed with Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard was sort of believed to be the next great hope of video game adaptations back in 2016, I think it was. And that just crashed and burned, and plans for sequels were promptly scrapped. So, you know, there has been some attempt over the decades to get something like this off the ground. But I think that The Last of Us has the advantage of this inherently cinematic quality and of a team that genuinely believes in what they're doing. So it's not this kind of cynical cash grab alone, you know.
Is it possible to predict what other games will become the television and movies of the near future?
I mean, there are a million that are currently in development. You know, Amazon just announced a God of War series. Netflix are trying about a dozen different things right now and seeing what sticks. I mean, I think the thing to look for, and I hope that they know this now, is, you know, strongly defined characters and a strong narrative backbone. Something that a lot of these adaptations have historically lacked, because, you know, when you're playing a game, you want to be able to project onto the character. You kind of get to fill in the gaps or even customize the way that they look and the way they act. And when that comes to television and they're just an empty cipher, it's not very interesting to watch because you have no reason to care about them. So I think if people are careful in their selection of source material, then they will have much more success in that arena.
Alex, thanks so much. Great to talk to you as always.
Yeah, thank you.
Alex Barish is an editor at The New Yorker, and you can find his reporting piece about The Last of Us at newyorker.com.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.